How easy is it to get prescription GLP-1s online? Find out about this and more in today's PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. I'm your host, Senior VP Medical Director, Dr. Tim Wright, coming to you once again from the Pioneer Valley in Western Massachusetts. Here are today's stories. Getting a prescription for one of today's most popular weight loss medications may be far easier than many clinicians realize. Researchers from Yale University posed as an eligible patient and evaluated nearly 50 online GLP-1 prescribing platforms to see how closely they followed accepted standards of medical care. What they found raises important questions about oversight, patient safety, and continuity of care. More than 90% of the websites issued a prescription, most without requiring a live conversation with a clinician. Some approved treatment in just minutes using only an online questionnaire, and several accepted incomplete photographs despite requesting full body images. In many cases, medications were automatically shipped before the patient even confirmed they wanted the prescription. Most prescriptions were for compounded GLP-1 products rather than FDA-approved branded medications. Telemedicine has dramatically expanded access to obesity treatment, particularly for patients who might otherwise go untreated. As GLP-1 therapies continue to reshape obesity medicine, this study serves as a timely reminder that expanding access should not come at the expense of thoughtful clinical evaluation and ongoing patient care. In our next story, we learn that for years, many orthopedic surgeons have started patients on direct oral anticoagulant after hip or knee replacement before transitioning to aspirin. A new study suggests the first step may not always be necessary. In the multicenter EPCAT-3 trial published in the New England Journal of Medicine, more than 5,400 patients undergoing total hip or knee arthroplasty were randomized to either receive aspirin alone beginning immediately after surgery or rivaroxaban for the first 5 days followed by aspirin. After 90 days of follow-up, aspirin alone proved non-inferior for preventing symptomatic venous thromboembolism with similarly low bleeding rates between the two groups. The findings suggest that for appropriately selected, lower-risk patients, an inexpensive and familiar medication may provide protection comparable to a more costly anticoagulant strategy. While higher-risk patients will still require individualized management, this trial may influence post-operative protocols and future orthopedic guidelines. Next, researchers reporting in the New England Journal of Medicine found that vaccination against meningococcal serogroup B significantly reduced the incidence of gonorrhea among individuals at high risk for infection. Although N. meningitidis and N. gonorrhea cause very different diseases, they are closely related bacteria that share several surface proteins, providing a biologically plausible explanation for the unexpected cross-protection. With antibiotic-resistant gonorrhea continuing to increase worldwide, even partial protection could have important public health implications. The vaccine is not ready to replace established prevention strategies, and current vaccine recommendations remain unchanged. However, the findings open an entirely new avenue for STI prevention research and suggest that an existing vaccine could someday play a dual role in protecting populations at highest risk. And finally, managing agitation in patients with advanced dementia remains one of the greatest challenges facing caregivers and hospice clinicians. A new study suggested a novel treatment approach may offer meaningful relief. The Phase 2 Libby trial evaluated a purified oral formulation containing both THC and CBD in hospice-eligible patients with Alzheimer's disease and other dementias experiencing significant agitation. Compared with placebo, patients receiving the active treatment demonstrated rapid and sustained reductions in agitation, with nearly 90% showing overall clinical improvement during the 12-week study. Investigators emphasized that this was a carefully standardized pharmaceutical formulation administered under medical supervision, not recreational cannabis or over-the-counter CBD products. While larger confirmatory trials will be needed before widespread adoption, the findings offer hope for a condition where existing medications often provide limited benefit and carry substantial adverse effects. For clinicians caring for patients at end of life, this study may represent an important step towards safer and more effective symptom management. And that's today's medical news. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PureDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at PureDirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions, please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@PureDirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing, Medical News Roundup, and just ask, what's my flash briefing? Thanks today to Sean Mullen, Norm Dion, Miriam Gomez, and Bryce Sadie for production assistance. Join me next time for an episode where we'll cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.